Hey everyone, welcome back to the Above Board Podcast. Gosh, I cannot believe it, but we're already on episode 108. It feels like a second ago. Rich, Matt, and I sat around one microphone, and we have literally one microphone, the three of us sitting right on top of each other, having these conversations. And, you know, fast forward over 100 episodes later, we're in season four, and we just love delivering these conversations to our podcast followers and our Canterpath community. It's a lot of fun to talk about not just finance topics, but personal development, business ownership, or just life stuff. I mean, if you've been a subscriber to our show for a long time, you've probably sensed an array of topics that we have on the show. And despite all that, despite the fact that we could talk about literally anything on the show, I'm sitting here last Friday and I'm like, hey, I'm out of ideas. I'm fresh out of ideas. I'm recording this podcast solo. Matt was on with me last week. We talked about busyness during tax season. So he's going to be coming back soon. Rich has been traveling and very busy. And so I'm recording this one solo. And I talked to Raina Fitzgerald on our team. And I said, Raina, I need some ideas. I think I'm fresh out of ideas. And she said, well, mental spring cleaning. That's something that people need to be hearing about and talking about. We're all doing spring cleaning right now. You know, springtime always kind of feels like this renewed sense of opportunity and sense of self, kind of like January 1st, you know, like New Year's resolution time feels like a great time to start talking about new goals for ourselves. But spring cleaning is a really important opportunity too. And we don't want to let that slide. So we're going to talk about four things today as it relates to spring cleaning. The first one is literally decluttering your physical space. So this actually does tie in very well to spring cleaning because it's a little bit of mental. It's part of the mental spring cleaning we're going to be talking about today, but there's some physical spring cleaning here too. But I find that decluttering your environment can really be useful to sort of lifting this feeling of pressure or stress or overwhelm that you have. Like for me, for example, when I walk into my office and my office is like scattered with papers and there's stacks of stuff on the floor and there's mail that I need to go through and my checklist feels abundant, it starts my day off feeling very stressed out. Like I can't even focus. I'm almost like ADHD in that way where I don't even know what to tackle first. And so decluttering, maybe just starting small. This doesn't need to be like decluttering your entire house, but I will say this happens to us in our household too. And I don't know about you, the listener on this one, but you have family coming over, you got friends coming over, and you just clean the house. And what you end up doing is, you don't like really clean the house. You just you straighten up what everyone else sees, but then your closets are shoved full of stuff. Your drawers, everyone has a junk drawer in their house. I think at least we do. Your drawers are filled with stuff. There's stuff pouring out everywhere. And mental health is a little bit like that too. Like what we present to the outward exterior world is this more polished version of ourselves. And then internally we're just shoving all this stuff in our brains that no one sees. And so I think the physical cleaning of things is really helpful, but let's start small. So within this first checklist, let's start small. For me, it's my office desk. Matt, props to you, buddy. But a joke that he always says is, because his desk is usually pretty messy sometimes too, is office disorganization is a sign of genius, which it probably is. But let's let go of that a little bit. Let's clear our desks, start small, just do something that makes you feel like it's almost like that, you know, the atomic habits, like James Clear talks about, like doing these small, stacking these small wins that can feel like a really small win for you. So start small, maybe let go of the unused things. Something that we do in our house, with our closets specifically, is everything that's hanging in our closet, we turn the hangers the opposite direction. And for the next 90 days, when we take something off the hanger and we wear it, when we put it back on, we revert it back to its original position. So that after 90 days, you could see the clothes that you have that you continually wear and the things that you don't wear that you could probably consider donating. So for me, I've got this like huge, I have all these like button-down dress shirts because in my profession, you need to dress nice and wear those things. And I find that I wear like the same four or five every time. So it's a really good practice for a lot of folks, not just me, but I'm probably saying this out loud for myself to hear it. And then how about the one in, one out rule? So this is something that, you know, when you bring a new item into your home, you try to remove that old item or donate it, you know, and you're just preventing the buildup of clutter over time. And it forces you to be a little more mindful of what you're bringing into your space if you have to let go of something else. We're deploying this with our children right now. So our kids are 4 and 7. We're on the heels of Christmas. A few months ago was Christmas, the holiday times. We had birthdays, and you know, helping them and kind of coaching them on, hey, yeah, like we're excited for you to have new toys that are coming to the house, but we can't have just a playroom just full of stuff. No one's ever going to play in it because you can't even walk in it if there's that much, so many toys. So working with them on the one in, one out rule has been really cool. And it's kind of fun doing this with kids and seeing them kind of learn this stuff too. So again, first one was decluttering your physical space. Next one is actually decluttering your mental space. So, and what I mean by that is limiting exposure to negative media, like being mindful of the media that you're consuming, particularly maybe the news or social content. I think constant exposure to negative stuff or de-stressing content is going to just contribute to these feelings of anxiousness and feeling out of control of your environment, or maybe even overwhelmed. Maybe put boundaries around this. And actually, I'd go one step further and say limiting exposure to social media altogether is very useful. Why? Well, the comparison trap for me, at least that's what comes up for me is, you know, social media can often present this like skewed version of reality. Like my wife calls it the, you know, people are like showcasing their highlight reel. So it's like what you want people to see. It's not what's really happening. It's not the struggles that we're experiencing in life. And when you're constantly exposed to that content, and like my feed is curated to positive mindset stuff, podcasts that I like to follow, and a lot of it's personal development or business oriented. And that's great for me. But even those things, eventually, you know, you start to wonder like, gosh, am I not where I'm supposed to be? Like, you know, maybe you start feeling inadequate or a little bit unhappy because you're falling into this comparison trap. So even at first blow or first glance, what looks like positive content could over time sort of morph into these unhealthy thoughts and ideas. So, for me, I'm in step two of three of something I'm trying to apply when it comes to social media news and just like content in general on my phone. The first step was moving apps around my phone. Like if you close your eyes and you had your phone in your hand, you could probably navigate to where you wanted to. Like if I said, find Instagram on your phone, you could probably find it. Like it's that much of a muscle habit that we have, that we muscle memory that we know where to go on our phone. So moving it around on my phone for me created like this sense of friction. As small as it sounds, it was just enough friction to be like, do I want to go find it? Like, I don't really remember where I put Facebook. Do I even want to go find it? And then after a while, I found that I did that. And maybe a few weeks into that, like I knew where to go again. And so I was finding myself navigating back to it. Then I logged out of them. Because, and maybe even better scenarios, I forget my password because then it takes me that much more friction to really get into it. It forces you, I think, to say to yourself, do I even want to log into this app? Why am I logging into this app? What do I hope to gain? What am I hoping to see? And sometimes it's like legitimate reasons, you know, it's a family's birthday and or a family member's birthday or a friend's birthday, and you want to go on there and show them some love and post something or just express your gratitude for somebody. But other times it's maybe doom scrolling, or it's just like that mindless, aimless scrolling that we do for distraction. So it forces you to think about it. Step three, which I have not done yet in full candor, but I'm interested in doing it if step two is not working for me, is actually physically deleting the app. Like the friction of having to go back to the app store and then re-download it. So I think moving it around on your phone is a good idea, maybe logging out of the apps and then deleting them. So that was the second. So the first one was declutter your physical space. The second one was declutter your mental space, or like just limiting exposure to negative media. The final two you're going to think are obvious, and maybe they are, but I think practicing gratitude. So that's the third one. Take a few moments each day to reflect on things that you're grateful for. And this can help shift your mindset away from like negative thought patterns, or you know, maybe hopefully just improve your overall outlook. Hey there, you're awesome for tuning into the show. Do you want bite-sized daily doses of above board content delivered straight to your Amazon Alexa? Subscribe to CannerPath 365 and enjoy our daily brief featuring market updates, relevant financial news, and mini clips from yours truly on this podcast, as well as Rich and Matt. Visit CannerPath365.com to sign up. So there's a few things here that I think are really cool. For me, one of them is the 5-minute journal. This was by accident that I have this here. If you're watching us on YouTube, I happen to have it on my desk. I do it every day, or I'm trying to. In the last 6 months, I'm getting back to it. And I've been talking about this journal for years on this podcast, but it's great. It's just like, it helps reframe your mind first thing in the morning, some positive thoughts. Or gratitude letters is another really cool one. So my wife and I created email accounts for our kids. They're young, right? So they're not checking emails yet, but it feels nice to like, express love and write positive things, that like send them a note about something that happened that day that I'm proud of them or that I'm grateful that I had this memory with them or whatever. It feels nice to express that love and not even expect anything back. Like I'm sending this to them knowing they're not going to read this for years to come and they're not going to write back. Maybe they will in years and years to come, but they're not going to write back a day later. So writing a gratitude letter to a loved one, it feels really therapeutic, actually. Gratitude meditation, of course, you know, I do this. I'm trying to get better at this. I'm not as good as the rich bee. And we promise we do a podcast on this eventually, but gratitude meditation, like 2, 5, maybe even 10 minutes, where you just sit, focus on your breath and focus on the things, the experiences you're grateful for, the blessings in your life, the people you're grateful for. I think that's really important. And this one, is going to sound obvious, but a lot of people don't do it. Internally at our company, we call it a RAK, R-A-K. It stands for Random Act of Kindness. We got this idea from Casey Jaycox. Casey, shout out to you if you're listening to this podcast. He has a podcast as well called the Quarterback Dad Podcast, which is really cool. And we were on his show and he was on our show a few years ago. And he talked to us about these RAKs where you're practicing gratitude, actually. You don't even realize it maybe, but you're paying it forward. You're spreading kindness. You're doing something nice for somebody else. And it could be monetarily giving them a gift, but it could also be complimenting a stranger. It could be holding a door. It could be volunteering your time. It doesn't have to be monetary based, but these acts of kindness not only benefit somebody else, but it cultivates a sense of fulfillment within yourself. It is so, so critical that we do this on it. We actually monitor how many random acts of kindness we do as a team for our Canterpath community, because we want to spread cheer and we want to spread good things and pay it forward to people. It's that important. And the final one that I want to talk about is engaging in self-care and self-compassion. If you think back to a month ago, I did a podcast called Healthy Selfishness. And it was this idea of like healthy selfishness versus actual selfishness. And there's a big difference. You know, healthy selfishness is setting some boundaries for yourself, creating a scenario where it's not about actually being selfish. It's about like auditing where you're at in life and making sure that you're doing things that make you happy so that you can then show up for other people in your life the way that you want to. You can put your best foot forward. That's a big, big difference between that and then actual selfishness. And so maybe that looks like setting boundaries for yourself, limiting your exposure to just doing something for someone else out of the sake of obligation because you have to or you always have. And so that's the expectation you've set for them. That's not healthy. I'm actually reading a book called Boundaries. My wife and I are reading this book called Boundaries right now. And you know, maybe I'll bring her on the podcast and we'll talk about this when we're finished reading it. But it's a really cool concept. So I'm not prepared to talk about it yet, but I'm recognizing just how important in life it is to set boundaries. And then something else within this self-care and self-compassion idea is seeking support. The irony of a self-compassion journey is that we can actually experience this journey through the help of others that love you and that care about you. Like, let people know that you love what you're up to. Ask them to join in. Ask them to hold you accountable or just talk to them about it. Get their thoughts on it. I used to feel like if I shared any of my feelings of stress or pressure or whatever it was to somebody else, that I was burdening them with this unnecessary burden. So I just kept it all in. I felt like it wasn't fair to them. I just didn't do it. I didn't want to tell people my stress or what I had going on. Come to realize, and this is a new realization for me over the last 6 months or so, but if they care about you, they usually want to help. They want to be there. And if they really love you, they want to see you succeed. And they like being a part of that journey. And so let those people in. I can't think of another way to succeed than being able to embrace self-love and to be able to bring the people in your ecosystem and your circle that care about you, bring them in on this journey with you. So, and maybe, I don't know, maybe today it starts with this podcast. I don't know. Reflect on what you're going to be doing for your mental spring cleaning and let us know what those ideas are for you. If you follow us on YouTube, for example, you can share, you can actually go into the comments section. You can share maybe some of your ideas on how you're deploying this to help refresh your mind and declutter your mind. So again, as a quick recap, declutter your physical space, declutter your social media on your phone, practice gratitude, and engage in self-care and self-compassion. Those are going to be your four. Shout out to Raina Fitzgerald once again for this awesome idea. to talk about on our podcast around mental spring cleaning. And be sure to stick with me in the coming weeks, where we're going to be talking on another podcast about financial spring cleaning ideas. So next month, actually, if you don't know this, the month of April is Financial Literacy Month. And I can't think of a better way to start the month of April than to begin discussing with you financial spring cleaning hacks and tips and tricks and ideas that you could be applying. So it'll be a good 1-2 punch from this episode to the next one. So thanks as always for hanging out with us on the Above Board podcast. Again, I said this at the beginning and I mean this, we love doing these episodes. So we very much appreciate our audience of listeners that you guys really make the podcast possible, because you give us the momentum and the excitement to want to keep doing this. So thank you. We'll see you everybody next week. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.